Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon. We welcome all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation, Sun and Vision radio networks out there. This week, guess who? I know you can't guess because I haven't told you yet. The Cajun Ninja coming to us from down south in Cajun country. How about that? And we also got Blue Oyster Cult for some music. And we'd like to thank the folks at Barbecue Nation, here at Barbecue Nation, for Painted Hills Natural Beef for their part in sponsoring the show. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef the way nature intended. That's Cajun Hills Natural Beef. How's that, Jason? Cajun Hills. It's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Well, I'll tell you what, in Cajun country, we don't see many hills. So that's pretty interesting.
So how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. So how did you come up with the Cajun Ninja?
So it was about 2016. I had faced a layoff with, my position in the oil industry. I was a sales rep for a couple companies doing oil field inspections. And the oil field is an up and down industry, so layoffs are common. And I had faced my second one in like an 8-year stretch. And I was just kind of tired of that corporate life. I really wanted to do something entertaining on social media.
Right.
And decided to just create a page. It started out to just be me kind of doing funny stuff here and there. And then one day I decided to just cook gumbo and was piecing it all together, uploaded it. And sure enough, it went viral. And in the video, when I threw the Trinity in the pot, which is onion, celery, and bell pepper, I threw it in and said, "Panya!" And, from there, people got a kick out of that. So the next episode I did of me cooking, I said, "Don't mess with the Cajun Ninja." And it just stuck from there.
Well, there you go. Now, you do have a third level black belt in Taekwondo?
Correct. I'm a third degree black belt in Taekwondo, and I part run a school down in Houma, Louisiana. And, martial arts is actually my first passion. You know, the whole Cajun Ninja name is true to who I am. It's a love for martial arts and the love for the Cajun culture.
So, Jason, I mean, how did you get involved in cooking? That's a pretty standard question I ask most of our guests because everybody's got different stories of how they got into it, whether it was growing up they had an interest in it or they were starving to death at one point in their life or something. But how did you come about this?
Yeah, for me, I just love to eat, man. I love good food, you know, so. Growing up, my mom, she's a decent cook, and, you know, a lot of times she was working nights, you know, and would have to sleep during the days, you know, so it was I'd eat good food from her every once in a while, and there wasn't a whole lot of time growing up for her to even teach me, so when I finally got out on my own, it was like a lot of frozen foods, you know, the traditional college food groups, and it got to a point where it's like, I want to eat something good, you know, and you know, you're not sitting a whole lot of money when you're breaking out on your own. So, you know, you kind of have to find the resources you can to make the foods you want to eat, the classic dishes, you know. And so just a few years of research, trial and error, you know, I kind of just started developing a good palate. And I think that's kind of what made me love cooking.
You can only do so much with top ramen, man. I mean, there's only...
That is true. That is true.
I've tried quite a few things with it over the years, and a few of them worked. Not too many, though, actually. Wasn't too
very
good.
True.
So in your classic recipes like etouffee and gumbo and that, did your mom give you the basics on those or is that something you learned on the side?
So there were a few recipes that I reached out to my mom and just kind of wanted to see like what she do. And she would kind of talk me through it a little bit. You know, there was never that one-on-one behind the stove type of thing. And that's because we just didn't, you know, like my mom is like a classic, you know, Louisiana woman. Like if you want like a certain type of food, she's just more inclined to make it for you than to like go through the steps of doing it. And a lot of the reasons behind that too is because people are just so in tune with what they're doing behind the stove that they don't really have a method or process written down. Cause it kind of just is forever changing, you know? But yeah, she kind of would walk me through some steps and, you know, over time I just kind of had to, you know, put my own touch on things. But for the most part, when the page kicked off, I only had a handful of dishes I knew I was good at. It took a lot more learning to get, kind of develop where I am now.
Do you remember what the first dish was when you created it, when you cooked it, you did everything and you finally went, that's it. I've got this. Do you remember what that was?
Oh, crawfish etouffee. Yeah. You know, and mainly because that is just a Louisiana staple, you know, like a, it's just a classic Louisiana dish to me. And when I had, you know, seen it, you know, and ate it prior to actually knowing how to make it, you know, I didn't know what all it took to get it there. And it's not a lot of heavy, hard ingredients. It's pretty simple. It's a butter sauce. It, you know, it's made with some flour for thickening and, you know, a variety of vegetables that are classic to Louisiana dishes. But, you know, when I finally made it and tasted it and was like, holy crap, I created this. It was just, you know, it was a huge light bulb, you know?
Did you call your friends or your girlfriend or whatever and say, hey, look at this?
Well, at the time, you know, it was my my wife, who was probably my, you know, fiance or girlfriend at the time, you know, because we just made 11 years, actually, on June 1st, married.
So, oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But, yeah, I started really cooking probably about 13 years ago. And when she tasted it, too, she was just like, oh, wow. You know, like, I can't believe you did this, you know.
Oh, that's great. Those are great stories. As you progressed over the years, what's one of the main things you've learned about cooking, Jason?
That there is no right or wrong. You know, there's only preference, you know. A lot of people are going to tell you how they do something and try to maybe even bully their way of doing it on you. Like, oh, no, you can't do that. And I just hate that mentality, you know. Like, when you go to the gumbo festivals down here and you try gumbo at, like, every different tent, you're not going to taste one that tastes like the other.
Right.
And, like, for years, if you've never been to a festival and you've eaten grandma's gumbo or your aunt, your uncle, what have you, and that's all you know, you think that this is how it's made, but it's not. It's just that's how they make it, you know? So if anything cooking has taught me is just to step outside the box whenever I feel like it, no matter what the outcome may be. Because even though you might face something that is failure, it's horrible, you might create something that's genius. So that's one thing I could say I really take with me every time I try to cook something new.
Well, gumbo in a way is kind of parallel to, if you will, and they cook it all over the country and all over the world, but like beef stew, there's no one recipe that is above all the best in the world. I don't think, you know, I've eaten beef stew all over the world and some of them are good. Some of them are kind of half-assed and some of them just, I wouldn't eat again. But, you know, what you're saying is the people that are cooking that have put their own little twist on it, their own little, you know, super secret sauce, as it were. And sometimes they do come up with something that is just incredible to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, to be honest, who's to say what's the best? You know, like, even if you do come across what you think is the best beef stew, there's a good chance that somebody within range is going to taste it and say, this is horrible. You know, there's some people who think green olives are the best, and I'm like, dude, they're disgusting, you know. So
yeah,
it's all in what your take is on it, you know, what you find appealing to you. And I think the more people express their, you know, thoughts, ideas, and of what tastes good to them, you know, the more we can branch out and discover new things in cooking.
I wonder if you could make a martini stew with green olives. Just a thought.
I'm sure you could, but don't come to me to try it.
I get it, man. I get it. I'm that way with like very few things, but guacamole and Brussels sprouts are a couple of things that I can't. I have to cook them once in a while on TV or something, but don't ask me to eat them because that's not going to happen. You know.
Look, man, and that's wild because like I love guacamole and I can tolerate Brussels sprouts, but I love guacamole.
I grew up on we had cattle. That's all I need to say is we had cattle. Plus, when I was 18, I did battle with a couple, three pitchers of margaritas, some beer, and two guacamole cheese crisps. And I was living in Arizona at the time, and it was hot out. And it just didn't work out too good the next day, so I've really shied away from it. over the years.
That's where you realize, you know, that just wasn't the right recipe.
That just didn't work. I didn't do this, but I can tell you a friend of mine proved to me that used guacamole does not look good in a Christmas tree. And I'm going to leave that story right there, but it is
fair
true.
Enough.
Yeah. Do you think we got a couple minutes before we got to go to break here, Jason. Do you think your life, how you live your life, what you've done in your life, your adventures, you know, your experiences, is that also somewhat reflective in your cooking?
You know, it's hard to say because obviously what I do, you know, I try to make it entertaining.
Sure.
So it could probably come off a little bit more characterized than what I am all the time. But at the same time, like, I'd like to think of when I get into a mode of cooking on camera, I am reflecting an image of my happiest times of my life or when I am most excited, you know? So I hope that that is how it comes across, and that, like, when people do meet me in public and they get that vibe from me, they know that it's genuine, you know?
Do you like that, being recognized in public?
It's a catch 22, I guess, because I don't necessarily want it to come across as like, I love when people see who I am, you know, but like at the same time, it's so humbling to know that, like, when somebody has recognized me for the work I've done on social media, that I now have the opportunity to meet this person, which I otherwise would not have had I not thrown myself out there. You know, I love that about it. I can't necessarily say I'm so into it in the sense of, yeah, it's great to just feel famous or popular. I just love the fact that I get to meet somebody I would have never otherwise met. To me, the people that recognize me are like the real celebrities, you know, like, because my page doesn't work without them. You know, I don't have a page at all. Without a following, it's a blank page.
Right.
But when they actually come and see me and notice me and recognize me, to me, they're the real celebrity, and I just want them to feel treated that way.
We're talking with Jason, the Cajun Ninja Deruin. Did I say that right?
Yep, Deruin, baby.
There you go. Here on Barbecue Nation, we're going to take a break on the network, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. We're talking with Jason, the Cajun Ninja Deruin, today. Before we get back to Jason, a couple of things. If you'd like to email us, pretty simple. info@thecowboycook.com, info@thecowboycook.com. Also on Facebook, we've got Barbecue Nation with JT. Same as our website, it's just Barbecue Nation JT. No hyphen, no slash, no nothing. But that's BarbecueNationJT.com. Right there, we have all kinds of social media platforms. I think the last time I looked, we had about 14 of them out there. So we're pretty easy to find. If you can't hear the show on the radio in your area, which we're getting to your area, you can find us in the podcast versions out there, and we're breaking some new records with that. Also, we're going to have some more National Barbecue News subscriptions coming up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So pay attention to that. You might get a free year's subscription to the National Barbecue News. All right, let's get back and talk to Jason, the Cajun Ninja. Now, what's your favorite thing to cook?
So really, the thing that's probably most popular in my house is smothered pork chops. You know, and I don't know if that's necessarily probably what you would think of Cajun-wise, but we love the bone-in pork chops. You sear them up on both sides, just a little bit of salt and pepper, and then from there, with the drippings, you know, brown up a couple onions.
Yep.
You know, throw in some butter and some flour and some chicken stock, and then smother it down, and that over rice is just so good. You got to get the bone in, too, because, you know, it keeps all the juices in, and it's so tender. So that's one of my favorites.
Well, I like the bone-in stuff because you can gnaw on the bone. I grew up on a farm, like I said, and when we had our own cattle, our own beef cattle and stuff, and, you know, our steaks and things, and we raised hogs, never very many at one time, but always two or three that were going to go into the locker, and we always kept the bones in everything. It was, I suppose because it was easier and quicker to get the carcass processed at the meat cutters. But I just love those bones, man. They're good to gnaw on.
And if you, I mean, if it, you still have some use of them, if you pull the meat off and you could still save them, you can make a really good broth with them.
Yeah, you can do some great work with stocks with those. Do you I know you do some work with Hunter and Griff over at Fire Disc, because that's how I found you. And so tell us what you're doing with that and your outdoor versions of what you're cooking.
Yeah, so, you know, a guy named Lane with Fire Disc was the first one to really reach out to me. And he, you know, told me that he said, man, I just want to bring one to you. And he drove all the way from Texas down to, you know, where I'm at in Louisiana, and brought one to my house and just, you know, presented it to me. And, I told them, and I tell everyone, when I first, you know, saw and looked at it, I can't say I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm wanting this thing. I can't wait. Let me jump on it. You know, but then I got to cooking on it and I just was like, this is freaking awesome. You know, I love the fact that I can actually transition a lot of what I do in the kitchen right there in the patio of my backyard, you know, on that huge skillet. You know, it's got that great heat zone in the middle, but then also the outer edges stay really warm. You know, I've been doing all kinds of stuff on the thing. I made an entire breakfast on it, chicken fajitas. I boiled shrimp in it. I've made pancakes. You know, I've made French toast, you know, fried fish. It's super versatile, man, you know, and it has completely won me over.
When you think about Cajun cooking, I guess people have a tendency to think, Jason, that it's always really spicy. And some people that doesn't interest them. Maybe they can't take heat, you know, maybe they just don't like it. I don't know. But there's not everything is spicy in Cajun cooking, or should I say it, you can adjust your own degree of temperature and seasoning in Cajun cooking. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Really, the main ingredient in Cajun cooking is salt. You know, we are known for flavor down here. And a lot of times people think that the flavor in much of the food down here is spice. But really, like, pepper, it brings spice. Salt brings flavor, you know. So if you want your food to be less spicy, just use less pepper, you know.
Right.
You can still bring in a lot of the same great flavors in most of your traditional dishes from Louisiana. And just use less pepper.
If somebody's going to be looking to try to make some Cajun dishes, like just say a gumbo, for example, which I know from experience isn't the easiest thing to make for your first attempt, but what would you recommend to them?
For gumbo?
Well, for any dish. I mean, a Cajun dish that, you know, they say, well, I want to try some Cajun food. I want to try some Cajun cooking. And I'm a pretty good hand around the kitchen, but I don't know what to start with. So what would you recommend? You do this stuff every day, all day long.
Yeah. I mean, I'd look for like basic gumbo recipes, you know, if I were to do that. I mean, if they would come to me, I would show them the one I make. That was the first one I ever did, which is basically keeping it simple, but not having to go through all the process of making everything from scratch. The first gumbo I ever did, the one that went viral, I think a lot of the reason why it went viral was because I've turned the process of gumbo into a little bit of a simpler process. By going to my local grocery store and picking up a couple rotisserie chickens that were already cooked, you know, taking those chickens, deboning them, having that already prepared, then using the chicken stock that's pre-made. A lot of people are like, oh, you're using box chicken stock. But if you look at the ingredients, it's all natural and it's made the same way you would make chicken stock at home.
Sure.
So now I've got my chicken stock made. I've got my chicken already cooked and seasoned, by the way. And from there, it's just going to be a matter of cooking that roux if you want to do that from scratch. But they even make jar roux, you know, they make roux that have already been pre-made. So a lot of your ingredients that it takes to make from scratch to make gumbo, you could have them already pre-made, throw it together and get the same great results.
I love it. You got to have okra, man. You know, I
tell you what, man, I know it's a crazy, it's like an unwritten law, but I'm not one who throws it in chicken and sausage gumbo.
Okay.
And I've caught a lot of heat for this because people are like, you got to have okra. You got to have. And to be honest, if you don't like okra and somebody makes you a gumbo and okra's in there, you're going to say gumbo sucks. You know, and really, it could be amazing if you just take the okra out. You know, so, you know, I kind of want that narrative to change. And actually, I had to really dive deep. I went into like the Oxford Dictionary and saw that there was multiple definitions, because the word gumbo, you know, it's of African descent and it does mean okra. But if you were to look at a pot of gumbo in Louisiana, it clearly is not just okra. So there is a sub definition that says in Cajun and Creole cooking, it's like a spicy soup like dish made with meats or, you know, the seafood.
Right.
And it's thickened with either rice or okra. And that's actually what it says, rice or okra. And so I'm kind of going off of that, so that way more people can feel comfortable knowing they don't have to have it in there.
Right. We're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation. Jason and I will be back, get some more Cajun Ninja information for you and your earlobes right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef product you can feel good about. In fact, it's beef the way nature intended. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. If you'd like to listen to the shows afterwards or go back, we've got 300 or 400 shows now. You can check them out on SoundCloud, Captivate, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, blah, 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 blah. It goes on forever. And also, if you'd like to contact us, it's info@thecowboycook.com. We're talking with Jason, the Cajun Ninja Druin, with us today. We didn't talk about seafood, but this is a longer segment, so that's why I saved it for here, because I love seafood. We have a little different seafood up here than you do down there. We have some great crab. We have some great fish, whitefish, salmon, different things like that. You guys got great Gulf prawns, oysters, things. How has that worked into your cooking and your recipes?
Well, obviously, it's a huge luxury to have it in my backyard. You know,
right.
I mean, I often will have fresh shrimp. You know, I've done boiled crawfish. You know, a lot of places around here will have like the frozen packs of crawfish that have already been peeled, but they're manufactured in Louisiana. Now, you know, they're not coming over from China, so they're a lot more fresh. You know, so yeah, I've incorporated many dishes. And you know, I try to get, you know, creative too. I've done crawfish burrito casserole. You know, I've done crawfish pies. You know, I've done the shrimp etouffee and crawfish etouffee. You know, so there's a, you know, a lot of different things I can do to add the seafood in with, you know, normal cooking outside of our area.
Do you call them mud bugs down there?
No, I don't call them mud bugs, crawdads, crayfish. It's crawfish.
You know, okay.
That's what I've always called them. Now, you know, look, people call it like they do in the areas that they've learned it, but, you know, that's how I know them.
Well, we had a creek. It was actually big enough to be called a river on three sides of our property for about a mile. And we were always going down there catching crawdads, and bring them back up to the house and put some pickling spice in them, boil them up and put them on a newspaper in the middle of the table and eat them. And my dad wouldn't even come in the house because he hated them. So, and I suppose I probably got a little too much of the seasoning in there, so the whole house smelled like pickling spice for a couple of days. But, man, I loved them. I still love them. They're great. What is your advice if somebody is using, you know, fresh seafood and they want to take a shot at running a Cajun recipe? Any tricks to that? Or like if they're using, you know, fresh oysters, I know you guys are big on oysters down there. We are too up here, different, you know, different lineage of oyster, but still they're oysters. So any advice for folks on that?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of maybe just researching what, you know, different people have to say about it, because when it comes to cooking seafood, everybody's going to have their take on how long it should be cooked, or, you know, how you can marinate it, or, you know, what it should be paired with. But ultimately what it's going to come down to is you trying different ways of doing it to
right.
find one that works best for you. You know, don't try it for the first time and then have a fail and think, oh, well, I just don't like this. because maybe next time you pair it with something else and try it, you'll be like, this is amazing, you know? So just, you know, just try different avenues.
How much time do you spend, Jason, on working out those pairings and experimenting with your food before you actually put something on camera?
Man, a lot of times, I'm not even gonna lie, many of the videos I've done, it was the first time I even attempted to cook the dish. You know, I felt like as I was progressing in it, I kind of knew what flavors needed to be in there. And that's just from years of just cooking and trying things in the kitchen. And I guess my mindset was like, you know, I'd hate to do this. It would be good. And I could have filmed it, you know, so I would just do it. And there were just many, many times that it worked. But I'm going to tell you, in the process, there were times as I'm cooking it, I would say, all right, guys, next thing you want to do is this. I'd hit stop. I turned to my wife and I go, this is going to suck. You know, like, I was just like, this is not going to be good. And then like it would cook down and it would all come together. And I tell you, that's the one thing I really love about good Cajun cooking is it's a lot of patience, a lot of low and slow. And the longer you let things just kind of come together, man, the flavors really start to marry. And it goes from almost getting a divorce to a happily ever after, you know?
Well, yeah, I couldn't tell you the amount of times I've stepped on a TV set because we do these all live. There's no retakes. They're, you know, 6 minutes straight through and just did it on the fly. And it worked, except the monster meatloaf a few years ago for Halloween. That one didn't come out so good. But other than that, it's usually worked pretty well. Tell us about your experiences in cooking outdoors. Is there such a thing as Cajun barbecue?
You know, and I'll be straight up honest with you. I'm not probably the one to ask about barbecue. I don't do a whole lot of it. But I'll tell you this much, you know, much of my friends and family members I know that have will definitely incorporate Cajun seasonings into their barbecue. You know, I've got a couple things I think I've done in the past. I think I did like a baked chicken where I seasoned it very well with Cajun seasoning. I marinated the chicken overnight in some Italian dressing and some Louisiana hot sauce. And then the next day took it out and seasoned it really good with, you know, Cajun seasoning and baked it from there. And it came out great, you know, but, you know, I guess you really could tie, you know, a Cajun name to almost anything.
Well, I think you can do that with any style of cooking.
Yeah, for
you
sure,
know?
For sure.
Because we all started cooking, you know, a million years ago or whatever, it started with an open fire and a stick and some pterodactyl or whatever it was. So,
right.
You know, we've progressed a great deal, but it's still, the theory is still the same. Heat and meat at the heat. How's that?
For sure, man. Have you ever had pho? You know, the Vietnamese noodle soup?
Yeah.
So I love this stuff. It's one of my favorite things to eat. And I finally decided to cook it, you know, but so I really researched the traditional ways of doing it. But at the same time, I kind of wanted to put my own little Cajun touch on it. So I actually threw in some Cajun seasoning and I made sure I used the Trinity in the cooking of the broth.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you, you don't see bell peppers in pho when it's cooked, you know,
right.
But it came out great. I loved it. You know, I mean, and I told people when I did the video, I was like, all I could think of is that I'm going to enhance it a little bit, you know, and it worked. So I love that kind of stuff.
Well, and you certainly made it more colorful.
Indeed. And I went with the yellow bell peppers, too. So, you know, so yeah. I'm really, you know, trying to make it flashy.
Out of all of your recipes that you do now and traditional, and you told us about the pork chops and stuff, but what is the one recipe you think that you've created that's probably your best work?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, best work, I don't know if it would be best work, but one I can think of off the top of my head was, you know, my variation of a breakfast egg roll that came out really good. You know, I used a spicy breakfast sausage, you know, used bacon. I threw in onion, green onion and celery cooked down in that mixture. And then I let that congeal overnight. You know, when I say congeal, it cools, but it kind of congeals from all the fats.
Sure.
And the next day, I scrambled up a dozen eggs and added the hot eggs to the cold stuff. And so that way it would break it all up. And then I threw in some cheese too. And it came out really well. Seasoned the meat with a little bit of Cajun seasoning. Came out really good. Seafood lasagna is a good one too. You know, made a lasagna using shrimp, crab meat, and crawfish, you know, and had some cream cheese in there for my sauce, you know, some Parmesan cheese. you know, and even a block of some jalapeno cheese and mozzarella, you know, just to give it that little bit of that kick in there. That one came out really good as well. Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things I'd say I'm probably proud of, but I don't know if I could label just one, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. But sometimes when you're doing a recipe and it works, it hits, it congeals, it does all those things, and you went, wow, that's really good. I mean, not...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's not just from a taste standpoint, but the look, the way it came together, the ease of the recipe, the whole thing, you just go, I got a winner here.
Yeah, look, the first time I did chicken sauce pecan, which I don't know if you're familiar with chicken sauce pecan or heard of it, I had never done it before, you know, then when I was doing it on video, and I was really pleased with how it came out, even though it's not like super crazy, but it's chicken sauce pecan. If you're familiar with chicken stew, which is like a brown gravy and chicken on the bone that's been cooked down for a long time, chicken sauce pecan is like a tomato-based version of that. It's like a tomato-based stew with the chicken and all, and the sauce itself has a little bit of like spiciness, but also like a hint of sweetness because you're going for that kind of like tomato sauce mixed in with a roux, you know. And I love it. Every time I do that one, I just get really excited as I pull the lid off after it's been simmering for a long time.
The one thing I like about you, Jason, there's more than one thing I like about you, but your enthusiasm is great. I love that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'll tell you, man, we talked earlier, you said how this was going to be a 40-minute segment or so, and it has literally gone by. It feels like just a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not quite done, but yeah, it's fun. And I always like to talk to people that are enthusiastic about their work, that I really like it when I find happy people. We got a lot of unhappy people around the world these days, but I like happy people. And especially when it comes to working with food, that to me is like kind of just heaven right there, buddy.
Oh, look, you're hitting the nail on the head. And to be honest, the reason why this whole thing got started was because I followed a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, and that was his thing. He's like, you know, chase happiness, don't chase money, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and one great line he said is, how you make your money is way more important than how much money you make.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I do every day. I try to chase something that brings happiness to me. And over time it has built more of a, you know, comfortable finance for my family.
Yep. It'll do that. It's amazing because a lot of people don't think of it in those terms. We got to take a break, but real quickly, they don't think of it in those terms. They do it the other way. And chasing more money means more stuff and more happiness. And a lot of times it doesn't work out that way. We're going to be back with Jason, the Cajun Ninja, if I say it right, right after this on Barbecue Nation. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Sun and Vision Radio Network. I'm JT, your host from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. We're talking with Jason, the Cajun Ninja, Drewin. I said it right.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I won't. I won't, man.
No, yeah.
So
it's all good.
Yeah, it is. When you're trying to think of something new, and we think in variations, that's easy. But when you think of something new, and I always remember, and people on the show have heard me say this before, the famed comedian George Carlin said in one of his stand-up routines, if you nail two things together that have never been nailed together before, somebody will buy it. Well, I extrapolated that in my own thought process and thought, what if I put, you know, chicken and watermelon together? Or what if I put, you know, corned beef and pecans together? And that's the way I think. And some people think that's a little weird. I don't care. But it's a stimulus for me to think about putting things together that could possibly work. And so I would like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, well, here's the thing. You really don't know if it will work unless you do it. You know, like it blows my mind when you bring about something like that to someone and they just go, ugh, And it's like, okay, have you tried it? Well, no, but I mean, you know, those two things together, just no. Okay. Well, at some point somebody said, let me dip my French fries in my Frosty.
Right.
And now a lot of people do that, you know, but you'd have never thought that a fried potato would go good with ice cream.
Right.
You know, so that's, you know, my thing is like, go for it. I mean, you said chicken and watermelon. There's actually a girl on YouTube that I saw. She cut open a whole watermelon and then gutted it and then seasoned a chicken, then put the whole chicken in the watermelon, put it back together, you know, with some, like, some sticks and, you know, poked it all together, hold it in place, and she roasted that chicken and the watermelon in the oven. You know, so it's been done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I miss that. I didn't see that, but I'll go look that up because I'm curious about that now that I said that. But it's that thought process, I think, that keeps us kind of interesting in what we're doing with food, because food is a very easy thing to fall into a rut with, a pattern. Every Tuesday night we have spaghetti. Every Thursday night we have hamburgers, you know, or whatever like that. I mean, when I was growing up, and probably the same for you, every Sunday was kind of a family Sunday dinner. And in my neck of the woods, we had pot roast with potatoes and carrots and gravy and a salad and probably a couple other side dishes, which I've forgotten. And maybe down in your neck of the woods, maybe they had, you know, gumbo and prawns or something. I don't know. But we tend to fall into those categories, and it's hard to get out of it. It really is hard to get out of it because you become used to it. It becomes patterned. And that's what I like about food, because you can unpattern things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, often we'll get into a comfort zone and, you know, not want to get out of it, you know. It's just a matter of just really telling yourself, all right, you know what? I know it's Taco Tuesday, but, you know, today I'm making crawfish macaroni and cheese.
Right, right.
I mean, I think those patterns happen to a lot of people, and it's just, it's probably because of the way our lives are played out. You know, we get up, we go to work, we come home, and we just do what's easy to get through the rest of our evening.
No, that's true. That's true. Jason, where do you want to be with your cooking 5 years from now?
You know, people ask me things like that, and I feel like I do a lot better when I don't try to plan out anything, you know? I just still want to be happy in the moment. You know, if there's anything that I would want, it would just to be happy in the moment of wherever I'm at. You know, no pressure of feeling like I have to cater to what is expected, you know, just to just wake up on days where I feel like doing something that would make me happy, whether that's cooking or just answering comments and questions, or if, you know, I turn to my wife and say, hey, let's go to the beach, you know, like, I think that's kind of what anybody would really want, you know? So if that answers your question, that's kind of what I feel. I don't necessarily have a plan of like, oh, I got to execute this or execute that. You know, I just feel like I get more stressed out when I think I have to get something done, you know, versus just letting whatever the higher power is given to me unfold.
Just take it as it comes, brother. Just take it as
Absolutely.
It comes. What do you do for fun?
Well, I mean, really for me, martial arts is fun. So like, you know, 2 days a week, I teach martial arts, and, you know, I get enough time to get into the gym and kick bags and pads and work with, you know, other students is great. But I, you know, I also like to play golf, man. If I get a little bit of time, I'll go, swing some tiny objects against other tiny objects, you know, although it's not always fun, but, you know, I do enjoy the challenge.
I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I also do a golf show. So there you go.
Well, I don't know if I'm the one to talk to you on, you know, experiences and advice, but I can definitely bring in some good laughter.
Well, we do that a lot. We do that a lot because in the years I've been doing it, I have never given anybody any real advice on the golf show. I let the guests do it sometimes if that's who we have, but we try to hang back on that show and just talk about the interesting people in the sport. And that's more fun for me to do that. It really is. How can people find out about you? Where can they go? What have you got to show them?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, man, the real blessing of when I started this whole thing was, you know, I grabbed the handle or username from multiple platforms, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Pinterest, even Twitter, and they were all available. So if you just Google The Cajun Ninja, you know, my stuff will come up, you know, but, or any search box of any pretty major social media outfit. I mean, even just recently I've gotten into the newest one, which is called TikTok. You know, a lot of the young people have gotten on it, but more people of differing generations are jumping on it. It's becoming very popular. And even that platform has now jumped up to like about 80,000 followers, you know, which is really wild to me. But yeah, I mean, I'm out there, you know, just hitting the search bar.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting the way this stuff works these days. I'm gonna leave it at that because I think it's all good. But you could talk for hours about social media platforms and this and that. I notice though on TikTok, people do a lot of dancing. I have noticed that there's a lot of people dancing on TikTok.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's what I saw of it too. And I'm gonna tell you, I probably could have gotten really big on there if I'd have really stuck to just doing whatever I like to do. Funny wise, comedic wise, cooking wise, on there when I first got on it, because like I said, the guy I love to follow, Gary Vaynerchuk, back in 2018 was saying, you guys need to jump on this. It's going to be the next big thing. And I got on it and I tried to do one of the lip syncing type things, singing something. I think I did a couple of them and I just never touched it again until like late last year, which was over a year later. And back then it was Musical.ly, and now it's TikTok, and it has just blown up. I mean, everybody's on it, you know?
Yeah.
ESPN's on it. Will Smith's on it. Ellen DeGeneres is on it. You know, like all these celebrities and, you know, content creators have now jumped on the platform. So it's going to grow.
It is. I want to thank you for being on the show, buddy, and we will have you back again.
I appreciate it.
We're going to get out of here. And for those on the network that carry the second hour, we'll be right back. And for those that don't, we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.